So we've been talking about having an off-the-record episode about COVID for a long time, and I don't know how we've gone this long without talking about it, but, you know, to be honest, it's kind of been in the back of our minds and in the back of, like, a lot of the conversations we've been having anyways on the podcast. But I know that we both have had strong opinions and thoughts on COVID and kind of the whole process and how we're all dealing with it. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of go through a couple of topics that we think are really important to talk about. And yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and kind of start with that. So what we're going to do is call this 7 Truths About COVID and How to Stay Alive. And I think we're going to start off with COVID leads to other complications. And Mallory, I'm sure you probably have some thoughts about this. Why I wanted to talk about this is because I think there's been a lot of confusion about COVID-19 once someone has it and, you know, if it progresses and it gets bad and they have to go to the hospital and, you know, in a lot of cases, people end up passing away. You know, what is the process and what goes on in the hospital and what's actually leading to their deaths? And I had a family member pass away from COVID just recently. Very sad, very frustrating. So my titi Yvette, she's my aunt, and she's someone in my life that I've always really admired. She was very kind and was always taking care of everybody else, always checking on everyone, just a very loving person. And she's one of those people that was known to just give, give, and give. And I think that's what was really, just really cool about my aunt. And she passed right before New Year's. And, you know, because of her passing, I've been following COVID. I've been following all of that, just like a lot of other people have, but didn't really have anybody close to me, get seriously ill and or pass from COVID. And so it kind of made me decide to look into things a little bit more about COVID and kind of, you know, what happens in the hospital. And so I think what it's really important to remember about COVID is that it's an infection. It attacks your body. And like infections, they can cause pneumonia and other complications. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people who get COVID start having trouble breathing. And if they're not able to breathe and catch their breath at home, then most likely they're going in to the hospital to try and get treatment. A lot of COVID research has shown that COVID-19 leads to sepsis, which a lot of people probably don't know about, but it's really common, a common thing that people die from. And it's basically just, you know, your organs failing and shutting down. A lot of people have pneumonia as well when they get COVID-19. And so in a lot of cases, although people have COVID-19 and they end up in the hospital, they don't necessarily die from COVID-19. But of course, when someone goes in the hospital with COVID, they can start having other complications, you know, like pneumonia, double pneumonia. And, you know, if you already have underlying conditions, obviously like asthma and respiratory issues, it's only going to, you know, exacerbate that situation. And so I think it's really important to kind of, you know, think about that and remember that it's not as clear cut as so-and-so got COVID and they went into the hospital and passed. It really affects people differently, and different things happen once you have COVID. Some people recover, some don't. And at the end of the day, right now, our medical field, our hospitals, they're totally overwhelmed. And it's starting to affect the quality of care and things like that as well. So a lot of people aren't getting to the hospital as quickly as they should have. A lot of people are waiting for hospital beds. A lot of people aren't getting the attention that they normally would get when they're sick. And it's not the hospital's fault. You know, it's not the medical expert's fault. It is the situation that we're in. And there's a lot of things that have led, you know, to the situation that we're in right now.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say again how sorry I am about your aunt. That's just terrible. But, like, yeah, I remember back when this was, like, all beginning back in March, I watched a video on YouTube by a doctor who basically, like, explained, like, how you die from COVID, and it's not necessarily, you know, COVID itself. It's those complications, like you were talking about. Like, it's people getting pneumonia and dying from that, getting fluid in their lungs, people being placed on ventilators because they can't breathe on their own. And that's where, you know, the sort of, where the high mortality really comes to play is that, you know, people get COVID, they get so sick they can't breathe, they have to go to the hospital, they get pneumonia, and then it's pneumonia that, you know, kills them, but they wouldn't have gotten the pneumonia if they hadn't had COVID to begin with. And, like, even, you know, even if you are, you know, one of the lucky ones who gets COVID and survives, you know, there are so many people who they're calling, like, long-haul COVIDers, or, you know, people with, like, long-term symptoms related to COVID after, you know, they've recovered from the illness. People, you know, being diagnosed with autoimmune disorders or having, like, all sorts of, you know, medical troubles that they didn't have before. I saw briefly earlier today that a comparison of a smoker's lungs with someone's lungs who had COVID, and the COVID patient's lungs were worse than the smoker's. And I don't want to talk too much about that because, like I said, like, I just briefly looked at it today because I don't know if y'all have heard, but it's a crazy time right now in the U.S. And so I just looked at it briefly, so I don't want to, you know, say too much about the specifics of it. But, you know, like, even if you get COVID and you beat it and you survive, there's still so many people who have these long-term consequences and long-term health issues. You know, people who can't taste or smell things months after they've had COVID. So, like, it's, you know, it's not just a matter of, you know, well, if I get it and I don't die, I'll be fine. That's, you know, that's not true. Like, there's so many people who are still suffering from side effects long after they've recovered from the actual illness itself.
Yeah. And we're, like you said, we're just now starting to see that. And I know they're doing a lot of research around, you know, those complications that kind of last after having the virus. And, you know, a lot of other things too that are going on is, you know, we're trying to get these vaccines out, but what's also happening is we're seeing new variants of COVID. And luckily, for the most part, it seems like most of them will be able to be effective against, except for one that I was reading today. I think they're doing more research around it, but I guess it's a variant out of South Africa that seems to be able to, I guess, fight the proteins or something like that, the antibodies, I guess, that are in the vaccine. And so this is something that's going to be with us for a while. And, you know, it's serious. And I wish that more people would take it seriously. As we've seen, a lot of people have passed from COVID all over the world. You know, just here in the United States, as we're recording this, we're talking about this, there have been 388,000 deaths, and we've had over 23 million cases of COVID in America. As we've seen over the last couple of months, the infection rate's gone up really quickly. Deaths have gone up really quickly. And so we have this vaccine, it's on the way, but it seems like we're at the brink of just stressing our medical system, and there are just so many people dying right now, even as the vaccine's being rolled out and, you know, of course, rolled out very slowly and with a lot of logistical issues. So there's definitely a lot of things that are going on right now. One thing that we've definitely talked about, and I think everyone has probably had a conversation with someone about, is wearing a mask. And, you know, thinking back all the way to whenever that was, February, March, when...
March, and then the early days.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, simpler times where we thought that this, you know, would kind of blow over after a while. You know, we remember the whole mask situation and how, you know, that they did advise us, you know, not to wear a mask, to make sure that medical providers were able to get enough of the medical masks that they needed. And so people were advised not to wear a mask. Of course, since then, you know, a lot of people started to create and produce a lot of these cotton masks, et cetera. And then, of course, we've had plenty of studies since then looking at the efficacy of, you know, mask wearing and how it actually is a good thing. And sadly, there's still a lot of confusion and a lot of just bad information around wearing a mask. If you've had conversations with people about masks, you probably have talked about some of the same things that we're going to talk about, but people should at the bare minimum be wearing a mask. That is bare minimum. Like, we're not doing a lot to combat the virus with just wearing masks, but we can't even get to that point. And that's what's kind of discouraging about it, is it's the least that we could be doing. There are so many other things that we need to do that are just as effective, if not more. But yeah, we can't even get everybody to agree to wear masks across the board. And people should be wearing masks. Kids should be wearing masks too. Mm-hmm. I think I was reading on this, you know, CDC website that it says ages 2 and up should be wearing a mask. You should be wearing a mask with layers and not just one layer. It should be snug. It should be over your nose and your mouth.
Yes, yes.
You should wear a mask and social distance. It's not one or the other. It should be both. And especially indoors when you're in that space with other people. Also, another thing that I've heard is, you know, there's people that, you know, say that they can't wear a mask because of medical reasons. Have you heard to date, Mallory, any medical issue that would keep someone from wearing a mask?
I have not. And, you know, the sort of response that I've seen people give to, you know, people who say, oh, well, I can't wear a mask. I have a medical condition. I can't wear it for such and such reason. Well, okay, if you have this underlying medical condition that's so serious that you can't wear a mask, you probably don't need to be leaving your apartment in the first place. Like, if you're that, you know, sick already that, you know, you can't wear a mask, then you probably shouldn't be out either way. Like, it... And, like, I always have to chuckle. I think I've seen it at Target. You know, those signs that say, you know, you can't wear a mask? Okay, we offer delivery and pickup. You know, like, companies that, like, aren't even indulging people who are like, oh, well, I can't wear a mask for medical reasons. Like, okay, well, here are some solutions so you don't come into our store without a mask on. Like you were saying, like, this, you know, we've been, I mean, by now, everyone should know to wear a mask because it's been months and months of this, and it is the very, very bare minimum we can do. And just, yeah, I mean, like, it's so easy. Just put one on. Put it on properly. Don't, you know, put it on your chin or pull it down so your nose hangs out or pull it down to talk to people. Just put on a mask and keep it on and leave it alone and take it off when you get home. I don't understand what the disconnect is and why we are still having these, you know, questions and debates, you know, how many ever months into this we are. You know, it's the simplest thing. And if, you know, I mean, I keep a mask right by my door, right where my keys are. So I can't, you know, I have to grab my keys and my mask before I go out. And just in case I did forget to grab my mask, I keep one in my purse. I keep one in my car so that, you know, no matter where I'm going, on a walk, on a drive somewhere, there's an extra mask that I have with me in case I need it for whatever reason. Like, we're so many months into this, and so many people, both like regular people and elected officials, you know, have just like given up, basically, it feels like, on stopping the spread or slowing the spread, that, you know, wearing a mask is the least we can do, and it's the easiest thing we can do. And it's really, it's not that hard of a habit to get into. If you're outside of your house, put it on. You know, like, I live in an apartment building, and whenever I just walk down the hall to go take my trash out, I put on a mask. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the only thing that I've seen as far as conditions is the CDC said if you have serious breathing problems, then you shouldn't wear a mask. So, you know, to point to what you said, if you have some condition where you have issues breathing on a normal daily basis, then you need to stay home and you need to, you know, figure out other alternatives so that you can be healthy and that other people can be healthy. I think that's a good way to look at it. Is let's not even get into, you know, what that condition may or may not be. But I will say that a really big myth that we've heard about is that masks can cause, you know, carbon dioxide buildup and can make you sick or whatever. That isn't true. It's a myth, and they've done studies on it, and you could just Google and find those studies. But if you have a mask that fits, if it's got airflow and is covering your nose and mouth, there will be no accumulation of carbon dioxide. Not to mention that there's people that wear masks all day, every day for work.
Yeah, surgeons have been doing this for decades already.
Right. People will be okay, and they won't have any issue with carbon dioxide buildup. And another thing too that I was kind of thinking about is the mask mainly keeps you from spreading the disease to others. You may have it, you're asymptomatic, etc. And so we really need everybody to be wearing masks so that everyone is protected. It doesn't help if you're wearing a mask and you're going and interacting with other people that aren't wearing masks. That doesn't make any sense. And I've heard a lot of that from various people is, well, I was wearing a mask, or I was the only one that was wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you kept those other people safe by wearing your mask because you might have had COVID. And of course, if you had COVID and, you know, you wore the mask, it kept those droplets from coming out and spraying, you know, on people. But mm-hmm. you're around those people who aren't wearing their masks, and they're putting you at risk. The mask isn't totally infallible. You could still wear a mask, be around people, and you get those respiratory droplets on your hands, and then later you touch your nose, mouth, blah, blah, blah. There you go. That's how you get sick from COVID. So that's something that I don't think a lot of people have really understood, that the concept of why everyone needs to wear a mask. And another conversation, because the mask thing became very political, is the argument about, you know, not making it required. But I tell you, if all of us, every state at the beginning, made masks required, we wouldn't nearly have as many deaths as we have now. That's just bottom line.
Yeah.
And the argument, one of the biggest arguments from a lot of Republicans, and I'm saying Republicans because that's who they are, and a lot of them are arguing for, you know, not wearing masks, is that there's no way to really enforce it. That's not really a good argument, because over here in California, we have a mask mandate, and guess what? People wear it. And when they go into the stores, all the stores say you have to wear a mask. And if you don't have a mask on, then you can't come in. It's that simple. So there is a good bit of social pressure, you know, just knowing that everybody else is going to be wearing a mask and masks are required and you really aren't going to be able to get into any stores, that's going to be enough to make a lot of people who don't want to wear a mask go ahead and wear them. Mm-hmm. I've been really interested to see this play out. You know, in Georgia, for example, they don't have a mask mandate and people just walk in and out of grocery stores and retail stores, some people wearing masks, some not. And the only difference between, you know, a state like Georgia and a state like California is that we made the mask mandated. It's possible to do it. I mean, when you go to the grocery store over here in California, if you don't have your mask on, there's someone at the door that tells you to turn around and go home. And of course, there's mm-hmm. people that cause a scene and whatnot, but that's usually the exception. There's not tens of thousands of people showing up to the grocery store and having and pitching a fit, you know. And the whole point of having the mask mandate, once again, it's like wearing a mask. It's the least that we can do. We know that there are going to be people that are going to challenge it, that are not going to want to wear it. There's going to be restaurants, there's going to be retail business owners that are going to struggle because there's people that don't want to wear them and, you know, get everybody up in a tizzy. But at the end of the day, it saves lives. And so we have to try. We have to try to have these mask mandates and have these rules, even if, you know, there's going to be issues with enforcing it.
Like for me, it always comes down to, you know, well, okay, I'll wear a mask because I don't want to get someone else sick and have them die from it. Like, I just don't understand how you can be, you know, a person living right now in this time and be so reckless and, you know, not really give a damn about your actions and, you know, their effects and consequences on others. Like, that to me is the craziest thing. Like, of course I'll wear a mask if that means someone else gets to live. Like, my God, that's not even a question. Like, a mask is so, it's so easy to do. Of course I would do it to, you know, prevent someone else from dying. And, like, I think one of the things that we started to learn as, you know, COVID went on and on is that this is primarily an airborne virus, which, you know, means that, you know, get it by inhaling it, whether by being maskless around other maskless people, or you touch something, or, you know, you have like someone's like droplets on your hands somehow, and then you touch your face, and then you introduce it to yourself that way. And like, that's why I'm always so like puzzled, I guess, by, you know, places who are saying like, oh, you know, we're disinfecting all surfaces and doing this and this. And like, don't get me wrong, like, that is a great thing. Like, as someone who like is a little bit of a germaphobe before all this began, like, I'm so stoked that so many places are, you know, sanitizing common touch items. But that's not really how COVID is transmitted. Like, it's not really transmitted by surfaces. It's primarily airborne, breathing in and out. That's how you get it. Like, that's why, you know, this whole concept of like indoor dining being allowed right now is so absolutely ludicrous and insane to me. Like, we know this is primarily an airborne virus that you will get or transmit, you know, via breathing without a mask on. And so, like, the fact that people are going into small indoor spaces, which are the worst place to be in when there's an airborne virus in the air, that people are going to these small indoor places and taking their mask off and eating and talking to one another and then, you know, going home, like, that's just crazy to me. Why is anyone eating indoors right now? Like, you are taking off, you're walking in with a mask on, you're sitting down, you're taking it off to eat your food, and then you put it back on when you leave? Like, no, what's wrong with takeout? Or, I guess, outdoor dining, maybe, if you live in an environment that is hospitable in January to eating outside. There's no reason anyone should be indoors and eating right now.
Yeah, and just to kind of recap, too, because we have a couple of really good topics here, but, you know, the first thing was COVID leads to other complications. Two was, at least wear a mask, at the very least. And You know, what you're talking about now, Mallory, is it's an airborne virus. You can come into a business or come into church or wherever and, you know, sanitize everything and then have everybody wear a mask and social distance and whatnot. And you can still have the virus spread. I mean, you can do all of the things that we're talking about and still you could catch the virus. So once again, this is just the very bare minimum. You know, another thing I know that we probably want to talk about is how people are getting through the pandemic and how they're coping with it. And that's, you know, having their own group of people that they can rely on to be safe and healthy. So what did you want to talk about when it came to that?
So I think, you know, this is where we get into the concept of, you know, your quarantine pod, you know, the idea that you and your household have determined, okay, well, I will socialize with such and such people and these people only, and this will be our little quarantine pod. And you might think it's, you know, a small pod, like, oh, like it's just me and my partner and my partner's mom and my best friend. It's only four of us in our pod. We're fine. It's small. And that might be true, but you don't know what those other people in your little pod, you don't know what their pod looks like. And, you know, your pod that you thought was only two people outside your household is actually, when you factor in everyone else's bubbles or, you know, pods, it's actually, you know, 20 people in your small little pod. So much for that. And so, like on the one hand, like, I totally get it. You know, we're how many months into this? We all miss our friends and our lives and seeing each other. It's like, I totally get the appeal of it. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's so many other ways that we can socialize and be connected with others that don't involve them, you know, making these little pods and stuff. You know, they're FaceTime, Zoom, texting, phone calls, you know, like there's so many ways to stay in touch and stay connected with people. And I mean, like, if you live somewhere where right now it's January and it's not freezing outside, you know, you can go outside and socially distance and wear a mask and see people that way. That's not really an option for me right now in Colorado, but one day it will be again. Again, like, I totally understand having a pod and wanting to have that, but it's not as small as you think it is, and it's not as safe as you really think it is either.
Yeah, I mean, this has been hard for everyone. And following all these guidelines and doing all this stuff is hard for everyone. It's the right thing to do, but it's hard. It's hard to do it. And we get tired of doing it and frustrated, but it's necessary and it's what we have to do. And like you said, when it comes to trying to limit, you know, the chance of you catching COVID, you have to be really intentional about it. Like you said, there's like an example on the news, I think, that kind of came to my head a couple of weeks ago, where there was a guy that was talking about how he got COVID and he had been only interacting with, I think, two friends who lived together in an apartment, and they all kind of trusted each other and they talked ahead of time that they'd be really safe, whatnot. So he would always come over and hang out. And there never was any real issue. Then one day he came and another dude was there that he didn't know. And he was going to leave and his friends are like, hey, yeah, like, he's totally cool. You know, we can vouch for him or whatever. That guy got COVID from the dude that he didn't know. And so that's just how crazy this virus is. I mean, it's a virus. You can catch it and you can't just take people's word for it. You know, people may think that they're being safe and smart and cautious, but it only takes, you know, one time, one interaction with someone who you don't know, who they've been in contact with, if they wear their mask religiously, if their family wears their mask religiously, if the people that they work with all wear masks and social distance, etc. And so, like you said, just having one person be in your pod and have some connection to another person that got COVID, that's all that it takes. And then everything falls apart and the little safe pod doesn't matter anymore. And it's not safe. I really think that your pod should be the people that you live with. At the most. You know, it's you know, if you're living with a spouse or if you're living with a roommate, and obviously like you guys are on the same page about, you know, how to stay safe and you're doing all the right things, and that makes sense that that's your little pod. But, you know, people that are having little group pods with other families, like friends of the family, or if you have kids that go to school and you have a whole family, you know, that your kid is friends with their kid, and then you all kind of, you know, meet up and things like that. It's a very big pod at that point, because those four or five people that you're now interacting with, you have to think about all the other people that they've interacted with. Okay, so we're back again, and we're talking off the record about COVID. Mallory, we've been going back and forth. We had a list of some different topics that we wanted to touch on, and I think we've hit a couple of really good ones. And I know that we wanted to talk about COVID variants now, which is obviously very timely, very timely conversation, as you know, we're now getting back together to finish our chat, and it's January 25th, and there's definitely been a lot more news about all of the different COVID variants that are coming out of the UK, and then South Africa, and then like Brazil.
Yeah,
let's chat a little bit about that.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. Like, full disclosure, I'm obviously not a scientist or a doctor or, you know, someone who studies viruses, but this is what viruses do. They replicate, they mutate, they change, and, you know, they find new ways to adapt to the environment. So now we have three of them. And from what I understand, like, they aren't necessarily, like, more deadly forms of COVID, but they are more contagious forms. Which I think that is, you know, the big concern right now is that there's a really contagious strain running around. And, you know, when, you know, you get more people getting sick, that means more people likely to have to go to the hospital and so on and so forth. But yeah, like, it's crazy. I think only the UK one has made it here, as far as we know, of course.
Right. Yeah. As far as we know. And I think reading some news earlier, I think there was some talk about like a booster vaccine that Moderna was going to create, because I guess their vaccine specifically might need a booster to deal with the COVID variant out of South Africa. I wanted to read a little bit more about that, but it seems to be terrifying. And like you said, we're not medical experts. But yeah, we're definitely picking up a couple things as we're living through it. Yeah, so we're listening to the experts. Things are kind of crazy. Things are going a little crazy right now. I guess it seems like the Moderna vaccine may not be as effective, but it seems like the Pfizer one, at least from what I've heard, seems to be effective enough. I don't know if that's changing, because it seems like last week, I think they were saying that they would be just as effective against these new variants. But I feel like as we get more data, as they do more studies, I feel like that changed a little bit this week.
Yeah. Yeah, it did, 'cause like I was kind of trying to follow it along too, and like you, I was on that same sort of beat of like, okay, like you know, the vaccines we have will probably be fine, but that seems like it changes, you know, every day and new data, and we learn new things about this virus and how it works and stuff. So, yeah, it's scary. I think I'm gonna start double masking whenever I go out to like grocery stores, which is really the only indoor place I go these days, just because with this extra contagious, you know, strains running around, I'm not trying to take any chances.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I saw something the other day about Pete Buttigieg double masking, and I chuckled, but it's so true. Like, we double mask when we are going to like really high traffic areas. There's been a couple, like grocery store trips that we've taken that we've kind of been like surprised how many people are like out and about in the grocery store. We try to go, during the day. But even just going to the grocery store, I'm thinking, like you said, about starting to double mask because I'm starting to see more and more people with the N95 masks and, the K95 masks or whatever those variants are.
Yeah,
I'm starting to see a
KN95,
lot more of
yeah.
those. Yeah, I'm starting to see a lot more of those versus like just the cloth masks or, whatever that we usually wear on a daily basis. So I think it would be good to take that hint because other people are starting
Yeah.
to suit up over here. And so, yeah, I think that we're gonna be better about that. It's really hard because we were really shut down this past month until today. Today they lifted the statewide stay-at-home order. Now it's going back to how it functioned before, where it's by county. And dependent on, like several different measures, but one of them being like how many ICU beds are available. And I think something like if it falls under 10%, then you're at that lowest tier. But from what I understood, everyone's at the low tier right now, anyways. But I think the only difference is now nail salons and hair salons can reopen again. Of course, with the caveat that they're doing all the things that they're supposed to do and they have limited capacity, things like that. I'm pretty sure that it's going to be, yeah, hair salons, nail salons, and fitness centers. But even then, there's some fitness centers that can't open just because, the size of the fitness center. A lot of the gyms around here are really small, the kind of like that boutique style that we have now where it's not just like a general gym,
Yeah. Yeah, it's like specialty little
Yeah.
exercise things they do. Yeah.
So now it's like, your yoga place or your Pilates place or your cycling place may not be able to be open because it's generally like a smaller area and you can only have so many people in there. And so a lot of them have been exercising anyways outdoors, but we've had like a couple of rainy weekends that have affected that. But yeah, I know we've been saying this, but COVID seems like it's really going to be here to stay for a long time. I mean, even with the vaccines and with more and more people getting vaccinated, it's very sad.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. We've been at this for almost a year now. I've been inside for almost a year, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't get any easier. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't. I think this has just kind of become I guess the new normal. I don't know how else to say it, but I was talking to a coworker and asking how they were doing, and I think we're all on the same wavelength that, we're just existing, and as long as we're safe and we're healthy, that's all that we can really ask for. Nothing is all right. Another topic is COVID and its impact on different types of communities. And what's been really interesting is I feel like in the media, they've done a pretty good job about talking about how COVID itself is affecting Black and Brown communities at a higher rate
I feel like I hear a good bit about that, but I don't really see what is being done about that. I think more on like a state and local level, there must be some efforts. I felt like I read somewhere where there was a county who was trying to give their vaccines to like an affluent like school or something like that, and then they got caught. And I mean, there's like different efforts, I think, where they're trying to get the vaccine equitably distributed to the people that need it and who are supposed to have it, in these groups that were supposed to be rolling it out. I've been surprised and glad that they've been talking about it, but I feel like there hasn't been enough talk about what are we doing to fix that problem
Yeah.
and thinking forward, and what are some lasting changes that we can make versus just, talking about it as, here and now with COVID. It's obviously an ongoing issue that we see here in America.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was reading earlier today about our governor here in Colorado, and he gave a talk earlier today. But anyways, but one of the points he brought up was exactly what you were saying of, how do we essentially like market or distribute the vaccine like to communities that are skeptical of the vaccine for whatever reason. But yeah, like it's hard. Especially for people that have legitimate reasons to be, hesitant to take a vaccine, communities that have experienced harm at, the hands of medical professionals. Like, we're not talking about, like, your Karens at Whole Foods who are anti-vaxxers because they think it causes
Right.
autism because they're idiots. Like that's not who we're talking about right here. Like, we're talking about people like that who are being willfully ignorant. Who are deliberately causing harm to themselves and others in their selfish actions. But yeah, like, that's a great question. Like, how do you go about building that trust with communities that are rightfully hesitant to trust the medical community because of what's happened in the past?
Yeah, and I think it's really important for people like brown and black people and people that are in, those marginalized groups that have had experiences to speak out about it, because I think it raises awareness. A lot of people don't know that there's a mistrust there, especially in the black community, when it comes to vaccinations and things like that. A lot of people don't know that it's understood when black women get together and they talk about health and things like that. I mean, talk pretty openly about the fact that it's sometimes really hard to get doctors to take you seriously about pain, about pain management and different things like that. And it's always really interesting because being someone who is black and Hispanic, growing up, I've had a lot of experiences that I draw on now, but at the time I didn't really know why that thing was happening to me. And so hearing people's stories, it's just kind of crazy. It's almost like reliving it and realizing, oh wait, that was something that I experienced. Like I just, thought that that doctor was mean, or I thought that that doctor was just stingy. But it's like a recurring theme. So you continue to make these excuses for all of these different interactions that you have, and then you start hearing these little snippets of stories. It starts to all come together. I know that there's been a couple of stories about black women passing from COVID. There's been a lot of people saying that when they go to the doctor, when they go to the hospital and they explain their symptoms and whatnot, that they're not taken seriously, that they feel like that they're not really listening to them. There has to be so many people that are going through that experience, and there is a lot of mistrust there. And I think that the Biden administration has also talked a lot about equity when it comes to the vaccines, and also when it comes to help and support around, like a stimulus package and getting, resources out to the people that really need it. So I'm just really interested to kind of see and hear what's going on and how that's happening. How is that being put into action? I think I was talking to a family member, I think over like the holiday, and she had asked me, why is it that, black and brown people are dying at higher rates or are being infected at higher rates than white people. And I was like, oh, that's a good point. They probably don't talk enough about that in the media. They probably talk about the fact that it is a thing, but I made a note to write this down so I didn't forget each one. But Black people are more likely to have pre-existing conditions that predispose them to getting COVID. So when you think about, you know, like diabetes, high cholesterol, obesity, things like that put you at a higher risk. And also, once you get the virus, you know, how are you able to deal with that and manage it because you're already at that disadvantage? It's something that I think that people should be talking a lot more about and kind of explaining, you know, why. Another reason is that a lot of Black and Latinx people are living in multi-generational housing. And I can definitely attest to that. I have a lot of extended family that lives with their grandparents, great-grandparents. And so there's a lot of people that you're constantly in contact with that you can't avoid. You have grandparents, your great-grandparents that are definitely high risk. You know, when you have the kids at home, you have everybody at home. I mean, it's a lot to deal with too for people. And a lot of essential workers are Black and brown folks. A lot of people, lower class folks are, you know, in those essential worker roles. And, you know, when people have to feed their families, they're not going to call out of work because they have COVID, sadly. If they have jobs that are not allowing them to take time off because of COVID or whatnot. I know they were talking a good bit about that, about how a lot of migrant farmers or whatnot, they don't have that option to take off. They have to go and work and they have to make money for their families. And so all of this is happening, and that's why we've gotten here to where we are with, you know, 400,000 plus people dead, is that we have a lot of people who are vulnerable and this virus is very real. You know, there are a lot of things that we could have been doing better to kind of take care of each other, you know, all of us together.
Yeah, and just to sort of piggyback off of what you just said, you know, the people you're talking about, you know, Black and brown people being more likely to work, you know, these essential jobs and to live in multi-generation households. It's also worth pointing out that that same group of people, for the same reasons that you've, you know, alluded to, they're very unlikely to have health insurance. So, yes. You know, if they get sick and need to go to the hospital, it's a matter of, okay, do I want to risk going into thousands of dollars of debt potentially? Or do I want to stay home and try to wait it out? You know, and that's, you know, why, yet again, you know, if a global pandemic is not reason enough for all Americans to see that we need universal health care so badly in this country, I don't know what else could make the case for universal health care. And, you know, I know Bernie has talked a little bit about using his new position in the Senate to like push through like some emergency universal health care in the US for the pandemic, which I think is, you know, absolutely awesome, and he should do it. And also, we should keep it around after the pandemic is done. Just keep Bernie's little universal health care he threw together for the pandemic. Just keep it around. Because I remember when all this was starting to break in the US, you know, back in the spring, and we were starting to learn a little bit more about it and how it was going to work. You know, that's when I was like, it's about to be a perfect storm of all of America's problems all rolled into one.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you're right.
Let's see how a country whose primary health insurance is GoFundMe. Let's see how that country deals with a pandemic. Yeah, I will weep with joy the day we have true universal health care in this country. So you want to talk about our last COVID truth? We kind of got a little off topic. So COVID testing, you know, a lot of people will tout, you know, well, I got this negative COVID test, so therefore I can go out and do these things and have fun and not wear a mask and all that stuff. But, testing is not a free pass. We know now that, if you've been exposed to COVID, it won't show up in a test until about 5 days after your exposure. And there's been, plenty of examples of false negatives that happen all the time. So, testing, it's not a guarantee. It's not a free pass to go out and do whatever you'd like. It's a tool that you can use to make more informed decisions or, take a test and then isolate for 2 weeks afterwards and then go out and be safe, truly.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to make. There are so many levels to this. Like, I tell you, man, it's a lot to keep up with. We were talking a lot about COVID over the holiday break because, of our experience in our family. A lot of just misunderstanding around when you're positive, when you're not positive. What does that mean? Does that mean that you can spread the virus? Does that mean that you can't spread the virus? And like you said, if you come into contact with someone and you find out that they had COVID, you probably shouldn't go rushing off to get a test just yet. The first step should be to isolate. If the government was able to pay companies to pay their workers to stay home, then we would be in a lot of a
Oh,
better
yes.
situation because the first thing that you should do when you are possibly exposed is to quarantine at home away from other people. And then you go get a test later on. Like you said, it takes several days, like up to 5 days out or so before, it'll actually
Five-ish
register.
days, yeah.
We talked a lot about the vaccine too. My parents were saying, I heard this story about this person who got the vaccine and the next day they tested positive for COVID. And so we have to talk again about the vaccine and how effective it is, how long it takes for it to become effective. Just like the same kind of conversations around like the flu, there's like this misconception that you could have gotten COVID from the vaccine because you tested positive after getting the vaccine, but you have to remember that you could have had COVID before you got the vaccine.
Before, yeah.
So there's like a lot of layers to this, and it's complicated. This is not normal stuff that we experience. We don't expect everybody to have working knowledge on all of this. And it's very easy to fall down this slippery slope of, well, I heard so and so went and got this, and now they have this. I mean, there's so much bad information out there, really. It's better to listen to the experts. I think a lot of people have concerns about vaccines when they first come out. I think that that's valid to have concerns about the vaccine. It's just like with a lot of other things. We have to rely on the experts. We have to rely on the communities that do this on a daily basis, that this is their area. What we don't need to do is just take family members' words as truth. We need to, at the least, Google. There's so many things that I haven't really understood about COVID or about the vaccine, and all it takes is just a quick Google search, and you can find some really reputable sources to educate yourself about the vaccine and about, just COVID in general. And I think sometimes people forget that. It's so much easier to just get your information from social media or from family members and then just move on with your day. But I mean, sometimes you have to do the extra work, especially with stuff like this, because this is life and death, and it's serious.
Yeah, I mean, like this, this is such a wild time to be alive, and so much has changed in such little amount of time. Like it can be like really hard to process it and follow it because like our brains are not meant to, cope with like this dramatic change at such a fast, pace. But I mean, like, this is literally why we have experts. Like, there are people that it is their whole job to study viruses and study vaccines and study how those things work. And, these people are the ones we should be listening to and following their advice. The people who have the background and the knowledge and the experience to deal with this and to respond to it in the best way. And like, you know, we'll see, you know, how the next 4 years shape up with the Biden administration. But like right now, it's really nice to like have people talking about like facts and figures and empathy and science, you know, when discussing, you know, matters of, you know, health and COVID and so on and so forth. Like it's a refreshing change.
Yeah.
To see other people saying, here, listen to the experts.
I think a lot of us have taken for granted all of the drama that we've had to endure specifically around COVID, from, you know, from the Trump administration, from, you know, downplaying it to, you know, saying that the numbers are lying, and it killed people. It killed people, and it continues to kill people. All of that.
Yeah, it did.
Misinformation.
Period.
It's disturbing. It's disturbing when you think about it. But yeah, just hearing Dr. Fauci talk about the virus and about vaccines is comforting. Little things really do matter. You know, having that time during the inauguration, they had that memorial for those that have passed from COVID. Those things really matter. Mm-hmm. Just, we haven't had...
They really do, yeah.
We haven't had enough from our leaders, you know? We haven't had enough support and acknowledgement of what's going on. The fact that there are more than 4,000 people dying a day. I mean, it's mm-hmm. crazy.
Like, that's more people than who died on 9/11 happening every single day. That's just growing and growing and growing as we go on and on. And, yeah, like, I didn't expect to be so affected by, like, seeing, like, that memorial for the people we lost to COVID. Like, I didn't expect to be so moved and feel like I needed that. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I needed someone in a position of power to address the trauma that's gone on the last year, roughly, let's say, in this country. And how, like, strangely enough, like, I did need to, you know, see that for myself and, like, see, like, okay, like, this is why it's so important to stay home and take this seriously. This is the gravity of the situation. Do you want to end on talking about, like, one thing we're doing to help cope with the pandemic? Because I have a new coping strategy as of last night. If I'm, like, having a bad mental health day because of the pandemic and I'm, like, starting to lose my mind a little bit, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy myself something online and I'm going to have it shipped to me, and it's going to be a little hit of serotonin. I don't care if I don't need it, if I have no use for it, if it will bring me happiness and joy, I'm ordering it. You know, like, we aren't talking, like, expensive things here. Like, I don't want to say what I bought on air. Oh, no, see, now I've made it worse. Okay, I bought underwear, okay? I treated myself to new fancy underwear. And, you know, I told myself, you can order this underwear. You have no need for it, really, but it'll make you happy. So that's what I did. That's how I'm coping now. If ordering a tiny little thing will make me feel better, I'm going to order it.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. Oh, man. What have I been doing? Yeah, I've been doing a lot of retail therapy. You know, a big thing that I did for myself is I allowed myself to be okay with not exercising as much as I should have this past year.
Okay.
It was supposed to be mm-hmm. like the year that I like kind of like get back on top of things. And my goal has always been just to feel good and to be able to do the things that I want to do physically, you know, to be able to hike or be able to whatever I want to do, I want to be able to do it. So that's my goal. So the beginning of the year, I was well on my way. And then, of course, life happened. And I think at any other point mm-hmm. in time, it would have sent me down a really dark road because it seems that it is a recurring theme in my life. I can't seem to get to the gym. But I had to just let I just had to let it go. I had to let it go. And I didn't do too bad this
Yes,
year.
yes.
I didn't do as bad as I thought I would. And so I've allowed myself from March of last year to about a couple days ago to just to just be okay and just get through the day and just walk the dog. That's my exercise. But
Yeah.
now it's approaching year two of COVID, and so my ass does need to get moving a little bit, but I am definitely going to allow myself a little bit of space when it comes to food. I'm not going to be as strict about my diet and all that. I'm just going to be
Yeah.
honest and straight up with myself right now because I don't want to go through the stress and I don't want to beat myself up. I'm just going to eat as well as I can and just move my body a little bit more.
Yes.
But yeah,
Yes,
I've been
yes.
doing a lot of
We're
things
all just
too.
gonna do the best we can do.
Yeah. I definitely have a lot of things that I've been indulging in, so I'd like to hear what other people are doing.
Yes.
I'm sure everybody's got some interesting stories. But yeah, I'm glad that we could talk more about COVID. Hopefully everybody's being safe out there, and I think we'll have a couple of good topics coming up for our next several episodes. I'm thinking it'd be nice to, have an episode once a month. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I think that's good, a monthly check-in.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
And maybe do some off the records if something like, breaking happens or something urgent. But yeah, I think like once a month check-in.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, we have a couple of really cool topics that we want to talk about, things that people have sent us, things that people have asked us. And so just be on the listen out. We'll still get together and chat and whatnot. Like Mallory said, everybody stay safe, treat yourself, and that's all we got.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.